not the only one that would be any difference in it. But there will be a night service now next Sunday, but not a morning service. And brothers will be going up and fellowshipping, and the Lord willing, we'll be there. If something comes up, we change it, we'll let you know for the next service. Let's just read our scripture, Revelation 6, verse 9 through 11. We've read this many times, but it's not hard for me to have to read it again. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, which should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now let's read Matthew 17. This is an odd scripture to read with this, but the Lord willing, we'll get down to our point later on. Matthew 17, And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Father, we thank you for another opportunity of coming together. We pray that you would just bless each one this morning. Give us our heart's desire, because we desire to hear from thee. Forgive our sins, our slothfulness, our laziness, Lord, in you. Just help each one. Teach us to wait on you, that we may be guided by your grace. Lift us up in understanding. Bless the people. Bless the speaker. Give us this day our daily bread, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. If you would, the brother Fred Hooper that I asked prayer for him, that's on our prayer list there, if you would pray for him. He's got some problems that's bothering him real bad and things, and just pray for him when you're praying, and I'll just remember him in prayer. He asked me to do that yesterday. He's got a few little problems in his life that he needs to get rid of and things. Really, he just, I guess in some ways you'd call it being human, but he's kind of lent back to his family and stopped studying and going to church and things like that he should, and he just wanted us to pray for him. That might be an odd scripture to read of Matthew 17 to speak on the fifth seal, but just we'll see in a little while why we're using that scripture. But I wanted you to notice Peter, when he saw this, he done the natural human thing that most people would do. Instead of seeing what God was really trying to get to him, seeing the eternal God that was revealing himself, and went right on, you know, in the next few verses, and a voice spoke and out of the clouds and told Peter and them, in other words, just shut up. You're talking wrongly there. For Peter said, you know, as soon as he saw the great supernatural thing, he said, Lord, let us build 3 tabernacles, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, or Elijah, as you would find it in the scriptures, called Elias and Elijah. You remember Elijah was back there, and then Elias come on behind him, and then it just comes on down, so he used the word Elias, and Elijah would be the same. But when man sees the supernatural, when the word is spoken unto him, or a great revelation, most of the time, instead of seeing the right thing and catching the point the way that it's supposed to be, he winds up, goes in the opposite direction. And just like Peter and him, he said, let us build 3 tabernacles. See, he wanted to do something. But the voice spoke and said, now you just hush. Said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. In other words, he'll tell you what to do. See, in our own lives, a lot of times we'll see something and maybe we'll not recognize what's going on, and we want to build tabernacles, or we want to do this, or want to do that, instead of just looking right straight at the Word and seeing what the Word's revealing to us, we want to do something else, you know. We want to get into something and get involved and all. Well, it might be all right to get involved, but not the wrong way. So we want to keep our thoughts now this morning in the right way, and then when the message comes forth, see, you won't be thinking, well, this being away up this way, or that being over that away, or this living that away, or trying to figure out where this is, or figure out where that is. Or that's one of the faults that I find in all of us, is that we try to, instead of just reading the Bible and the prophet's message and things, we try to figure out what causes this to work. And you'll take body, soul, and spirit, and people will fuss and bicker back and forth whether this one's here and that one's there, and what this is and what that is. And see, the Scriptures tell me. One of the things, Brother Branham, I'll read to you a little bit. He said that I hope you caught this of what we'll be speaking on today, but he said there's many other things with these. But one of the greatest revelations that there is of grace we found in the whole Bible is revealed under the fifth seal. Then that ties every Scripture in the Bible together. Now, that's what we were trying to get to last week, that to see that grace is unmerited favor, and it wasn't something we done that caused us to be here this morning. It's what He done. Then that's why in Scripture here, when Peter and them said, let us build three tabernacles, you know, let us do something, Lord. Let us figure this thing out. Let us get it all in. He said, now just hush. You know, put it in simpler language to us. Because there's a voice from the clouds answering and said, just, in other words, just hush. Because I'm going to talk. Well, see, then we ought to let the Lord do that to us. I listen to that in the minister's meeting. I pay close attention to some of the things. And the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. You know, we're supposed to do that and all like that and understand. But then you'll hear somebody explain, talk about a spirit or a combat beast or a soul or a body or something. And you think, well, I don't get all of that, of them trying to figure all these things out. You know, why don't they just simply say what the Word says and what the prophet said, and then it'll all come together. You see, we want to make some great big something. People would go gray-headed trying to figure out the Trinity, and that's what they've done. People went crazy trying to figure out whether they was three gods and how that they could be one God in three persons and all this, that, and the other, when the Bible just simply said there's one God and that it was a mystery. See, we're just supposed to accept it then because it's a mystery. Then let God reveal it to us. But one of the other things that is fixed and safe that's revealed under the fifth seal is that fourth combat beast is an eagle. You go back and check your fifth seal and see if the prophet didn't cover that over and over and over, how that eagle combat beast would be the prophetic, and you wouldn't have to have nothing past then. It wouldn't be nothing past the fourth combat beast, because that's all the combat beast you have. There's not one on the fifth seal. You don't need one on the fifth seal. You've got a prophet standing on the earth at the time the seals were broke. See, then when the first four broke, he saw what it was and saw the journey of man as we've been trying to cover. Then what did he see? Went right on to the fifth, sixth, seventh seal. There wasn't no combat beast there to bring that to him under the oath. There wasn't something there that, you know, to break that seal. The lamb broke the seal, but the last thing that was standing on the earth we saw was an eagle, a combat beast. Then God would have something He could break His word to His people and give them the fifth, sixth, and seventh seal. But now think about it. A prophet would be the only one then that the Scriptures could come to, like we're talking about body, soul, spirit. It takes the word. And there, what is it? Hebrews 4? Where it says the Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, dividing of the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow. You know. The Word would be the only thing that could do that. But then you have a prophet standing there that the Word could come to, and he's the only man on this earth. I don't care if he's a scientific theologian or who he is or the greatest
Garner, Ted Armstrong, or Oral Roberts, or anybody, Billy Graham, or anybody. It wouldn't make no difference just calling them names, not throwing off on them, but just names. Are the greatest educated man and scientist in the world. He wouldn't know the difference in the soul and the spirit. Because the Bible said the Word is a discerner of that. Well, then you'd have to, the Word would have to be in the person before he could tell you the difference in the two. You see what I'm talking about? That to me is what the seals reveal. The seal, these brothers, I hear a lot of comments from some of the brothers about how that ministers are just now, I mean, they're still after all of these years trying to prove Brother Branham was a prophet. Well, then, in trying to prove that he was a prophet, why don't they prove it that way? Why don't they show it that way? Well, maybe they're right, as someone has said about it. Maybe they're still trying to convince themselves that Brother Branham was a prophet. Maybe they're still trying to convince their own selves that he's a prophet. Well, we know he was a prophet because the Word come to him, and that Word discerned those things out, see. That discernment that was working in his life, it would go right down, it was the Word, it'd go right down into the person and divide between his soul and his spirit. And you look at the prophet in his early ministry, he had the soul and the spirit crossed. He put the soul as the second rim, spirit as the center rim. Now, he gave them the same senses. He never changed nothing of that, as we've always taught. But yet, still, he had them crossed. But when the Word kept opening, the more the Word opened, the more he saw the difference. Right, when the seal opened, he saw a true revelation, as we'll get to in a minute, of something about the soul that man has pondered about all of the years and tried to figure it out. But yet, to me, that's the way I see a prophet, if you're catching what I'm talking about, that Word to that prophet would discern the very thoughts and intents of a man's heart and divide between the joint and the marrow, you know, of your bones and things, know that much, and even go right on down in there and get to where you live at. Your soul and your spirit. Now watch. I don't know why I'm bringing this up. Maybe some of you thought of it, because it has one of the brothers kind of stuck it in my face here recently, and I just sat back and laughed and let them talk it out. I said, y'all go ahead, because one of the brothers, he said, what about this man with this mechanical heart? You know, the guy that died, but he'd lived 60 or 70 days with that mechanical heart. Said, did he have a soul? When his heart was gone, and Brother Branham had said that the science had found a little inch compartment, you know, and a human, and that was the place of the soul. But I'm glad I'd already told you here a long time before then, when the man had the operation. Remember, I spoke right here on it just for a minute one day. I said, there will be people in this message go into confusion now and say Brother Branham was wrong, because that man had his heart taken out and probably destroyed because it had already quit on him. And then they put in a mechanical heart. And that the people would think, well, boy, Brother Branham didn't know what he was talking about. And that brother, when he started talking, two of them at work, they were just going back and forth. They hear this tape, they'll know I'm telling it like it was going on. But they were just talking back and forth, and one of them said, well, I don't know. And the other one was just quoting all around. Boy, he was just proving his point that man didn't even have a soul. He didn't have a conscience or nothing, because it's all done gone, you know. He didn't have nothing left. They got to it, they saw me sitting over there grinning, and they said, well, honey, you know, maybe we ought to take that up the minister's meeting. I said, well, it'd be a good point to take up the minister's meeting, you know, just to see, was that man a human being? Did he have a soul left? And they kept on talking and talking. I said, well, now listen, brothers, you're a little bit offline of the Word. So now let's just see if the prophet stated it correctly and that you're stating it just a little bit wrong. He said, why? I said, well, check the quotation. Brother Branham didn't say that inch square compartment in the human heart was where your soul was at. He said, science says, could that be the place of the soul? If you check your quotation, that'd be the way the brother Van said it. He said, science says, could that be? See, he's quoting what the science says. He's not saying what he's saying. But then here you come along, the man, they take his soul out, take his heart out of it, put him a mechanical thing in there. Was he still alive? Yep. Scientifically, his brain worked, he walked, he talked, he went all over the place. You could call him a humanoid if you wanted to, or you could call him anything you wanted to, but he was still alive. Well, was Brother Branham wrong? No. Man still had his same soul. They didn't take it out and throw it in the grave. You know. We'll see that from this seal now today. If we'll watch it, we'll see Brother Branham just kept on gaining ground all the way through the message. And then when the seals broke, he saw something. Because in showing who this was, as we covered last week, who was it? Who are these souls under the altar that cry how long? He saw that it was Israel. The people of Israel that was saved between the time of the day of Pentecost, you know, or Calvary, excuse me, let's go back to there. The day of Calvary would have come out better because they were standing there crying, let his blood be on us. The day of Calvary, I read it to you from the seal book. From there over to the time the church is gone, that it's Israel. This soul's under the altar. All right, we went through last week, took a whole service, showing why the prophet said that it couldn't be the bride. She was done gone in the rapture for one thing. She don't cry for revenge for another thing. See, all of them things we went through to show that it wasn't the early church that was left out. But it was Israel that would be saved and be given eternal life one of these days at the white throne judgment in the second resurrection, the prophet said. All right, then in all of that, we saw who that was. But now let's pick up something from that fifth seal that will help us. See, just to see that it's Israel, that would be a great revelation from the scriptures and help you put together the scriptures and things. But was that Brother Branham's sole purpose in preaching the fifth seal to just let you know that it was Israel as the people that were saved down through that? Why didn't he just walk out and say that? Why did he spend so lengthy a time preaching the seal? Well, that wasn't all we was to catch then. As I said, we was to catch the church is done gone. We was to catch the concrete proof that a prophet was on the scene because there was somebody for the word to come to. There was no combat beast there to announce the breaking of it, but the combat beast was on the earth because it was a prophetic gift that was in the prophet and also in the people because it come on the day of Pentecost on Azusa Street. Pentecost. When the baptism of the Holy Ghost came, and that baptism of the Holy Ghost is the prophet himself. See, God himself comes. All right, now let's just watch something from this. This soul under the altar proves something that ought to help us. I know you read the seal book and all that you've read it and know what I'm fixing to talk about on some of you. But this soul under the altar proves something that every denomination just about basically missed. They don't understand the dead. You've got great writings and people of all kinds that's put out books and stories and all they've told and things, and preachers all across the land preaching about the dead. And they'll quote you a scripture back there, and there is one scripture that says the dead knoweth nothing, or something to that order, you know. Dead knoweth not anything, or something to that extent. But they'll take those scriptures, and as I said, Peter, when he saw the supernatural, when the Word was standing there before him, telling him something that would be placed under the fifth seal revelation, the first thing he wanted to do was build a building. See, then what we want to do is figure it out. Is this the soul? Is that the this? Or is that that? Or is this coming? What, you know? When we just leave it alone and let the Holy Spirit do the figuring it out. See, then we'll catch the revelation of what's going on. All right, the fifth seal proves something that all Christians just about it has wondered about. And even Brother Branham, until the time God showed him, read your fifth seal along about in about 377, along right in there. Even until God showed it to him. You remember him telling on the fifth seal? He said, I used to think that I'd be just a spook. That I'd be standing there, because he could read the scriptures, you know, and see that what he would look like and all. This earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting. He could study those scriptures that we'll get to in a little bit and see the meaning. He could understand those things, but he thought himself, see, that he would be just like a spook. The way man teaches it, they say, and they'll quote you scripture for it, and it's true the way they quote it, but how that what they mean with it is where the problem comes in. They'll say the body goes to the grave and the spirit goes back to God who gave it, and then if they understand it, they'll say the soul goes under the altar, you know. Even if the best of understanding, that would be what they would come up with. All right? But does that dead... We're talking about a Christian now. We're not even talking about a sinner. I'm not even going to bring up anything about a sinner today. We're talking about a true born-again Christian. We say you're sitting there right now and all at once, pow, your heart quits beating. And there's no hope to revive you, you know. And you die. And as Job said, your family comes to mourn you. They embalm your body. They put it in the grave. And they bury everybody hoping in the resurrection, whether he's a sinner or a saint. They bury him where that when he comes up, he's looking right to the east. You know, every cemetery is marked out that way. That when the dead raise, it comes right up because they're pointing towards the east. All right? See, they know something's there, every the natural sinner does. But yet, then they'll say, what about that dead person? And not in reflection now, but just for you to get the point. If I bring up names, it's just for you to get the point. But you remember years ago, I think it was Dale Evans wrote a story about Angel on a Wire. Or angel on the wire. Their little child that was born, you know, and didn't live too long, and it died. And they called and said it was angel on the wire. Well, see, man thinks in those terms. They think that baby died. And when I see my baby, one of these days, I'll see my baby just like it is. You know, that's what they think. Mama, she thinks, my little baby that was nursing and it died, I'll hold that little baby one of these days in heaven and it'll nurse again. That's just natural thinking, what they think. But see, the Christian world wonders what happens to the dead. What happened to Uncle Joe when he died? Where is he? What's going on? Is he just a spook floating around up in the skies? And then people come into things like reincarnation, you know, and they think that he reincarnated into another human being, or he reincarnated into a bug or a cow or a dog or a horse or something, you know, reincarnation, teaching it, going back into another. See, man has always wondered what happens to the dead. Death has always had that fear left on the eyes of the people that they wonder, what would happen to me today if I died? And even the prophet, he said, now, I didn't have no fear of dying. He said, because I knew I was going to heaven, that I didn't have no fear of dying, but he said, I always wondered what it'd be like. And he said, the only thing, in other words, the best he could do, he said, I was thinking that I'd be just like a spook. And said, I'd see Brother Neville go by me. And said, I could recognize him as Brother Neville because he would have a body, but I wouldn't be able to touch him. Because his earthly body would be down there in the grave, and mine would be down there, and I wouldn't be able to communicate with him. Said, I maybe could talk with him in some form, and he could talk back to me, but said, I wouldn't be able to do like I do, go out and shake his hand and fellowship with him. And he said, I'd always kind of had a little fear, a little dread of dying, wondering what it'd be like. Well, see, that's the basis that people have always wondered about him. But the Lord showed him one day, said, you know, when he went into the vision or translation, and he went beyond the curtain of time, and when he got there, you remember the story, if you read your fifth seal, you'll find it in there where he tells about it. And he said, these young women were coming with white robes on, you know, and all, like I was talking about the other day when Brother Brown saw his converts, they had on white robes, the men and the women had on white robes. But these that John saw over here to prove that they were not brides, they don't have on white robes. The white robes have to be given unto them. And that white robe wouldn't be just a piece of garment or some kind of a synthetic material or a good old woolen skirt or something. It would be, we found the scripture said it's the righteousness of the saints. All right, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is your garment that you're wearing. That was what Eve was hidden behind, and her naked and didn't know it. Now, you know nowadays, you put two people out there naked, they're going to know something. But yet Eve was standing there, and Adam naked, and the eyes were veiled, see. All right, if you put it back that way, our eyes would be veiled. You wouldn't see the nakedness of the bodies or anything. Remember the scripture? Seek of me eyesight that your nakedness do not show. All right, then when Brother Branham saw these, he saw them with white robes on, you know, and they were hugging him and all like that. And he said, now, natural man can't hug a woman without problem. So he said, now, there, said it was all different. See, you're just brothers and sisters in Christ. All right, now, listen. Brother Branham didn't use that to prove the fifth seal right. He preached the seal and then went into telling about the vision, translation. You don't base a prophet wouldn't. He wouldn't base a doctrine upon visions and things. He might get a vision of something. He might see something by dream or a vision. I've done that. I've seen it by dream. And then go to the Word and check it out, and it fits. You remember me telling about that dream that I had of the seventh seal being reproduction? That's been, what, 5-6 years ago. And in the dream, it said the seventh seal, that's reproduction. It's the end. I went to that, checked it out. And there it was the same thing. All right, then it fit the message. Do you remember him telling one time about Father, Son, Holy Ghost and his mother having a dream about something like that or him having a dream about Scripture or something? But he said, now you don't base a doctrine on a vision or a dream or something. All right, now he wasn't doing that in the fifth seal. But when the seal broke, he saw that what he had saw some year or so before then, that God was telling him exactly the truth. Because God showed him there, in that translation, that those people, see, he was worried about dying. He was just like everybody else. He was thinking he'd be a spook floating around, you know, and not be able to contact nobody. God carried him beyond the curtain of time and showed him either a vision or a translation into the place. And said, this is when you'll be gathered, when you're with your saints, not when you're now gathered, but when you will be gathered. See, when he died, he went there. You know, gathered with your people. All right, then that prophet worrying about it, God showed him that there in the early 60s before the seals ever broke. But then when the seal broke, or the fifth seal, it proved that vision to be correct. See, it proved it to be correct. The vision didn't prove the seal to be correct. The seal proved the vision to be correct. See, then that way you put everything on the basis of what the Scripture said. Not our ideas or thoughts or something. You say, I had a dream. I done this. The Lord led me to do that. I asked a man the other day, I said, what's all this business about the Lord leading? It wasn't the one we were sitting at home talking with. This was another brother this week. I said, what's all this about leading? Is it audible voices that tells you to do things? Or I said, I thought we were supposed to go where the Word's at. It didn't make no difference about the voices. Or whatever, the leading. You know. We're talking about going to ministry with me. But now, you can't just base it. Now watch, you don't just base it on the fifth seal. And most of the people, that's about all they get out of reading that fifth seal. They'd say, well now, there it is. It's based right there. We know that person that's died, we know they have feelings and they can talk and they can fellowship because Brother Branham went there. Well now listen, he went there before the seal broke. So then my point's right in what I'm saying. The seal proved the vision or translation to be true. Now you think on that part now, because what we want to see is something that in that translation the night he went there, those people had feelings. Brother Brown said them women was hugging him. The brother men were hugging him. And saying, my precious brother, they could talk to him and everything. He saw them all there about 18, 20 years of age, you know, right along in there, because that's the prime of your life. He didn't see a bunch of little babies. So when the seal broke over here to the prophet, it proved what he saw was true. He'd always believed that you wouldn't just be a baby, you know. You'd be full grown. You remember his little baby died? What was her name? Sharon? Just the first baby, the first girl there. Anyhow, when that baby died, you remember it was just a little bitty thing. And then he saw it later, and he remarked about it. The Lord was trying to show him. You remember he saw a dream or something, or had a vision or something, and he started into this place, and as he started in, this young girl was standing there. He didn't even recognize her. But it was his daughter, see, because there's no babies in heaven. And there's no such thing of us being angels unaware, you know, that God would give us a little baby and we'd hold it and he'd be an angel floating around the wings up there. We're a human being. You know, we always thought about sitting on the clouds and playing a harp all day. Now, that would be the boringest thing I could think of. Because I couldn't carry a tune in a paper bag. I wouldn't care if I was eternal. But that's what man thinks about. See, that we'll be angels floating around all through heaven, you know. Just, I'll float over to your little cloud, and you'll play a little on your harp, and I'll float on over to Brother Colin, and he'll play a little on his. We're not that way. We're human beings. When the word broke, we're coming right back here to this earth. The future home of the bride proves that. After the seals were broken off, it showed that we're coming right back here to this earth, that we'll be in an eternal state. and we'll live right here. We won't be out here farming and having to work. And Lisa, you won't have to get up then. There won't be no day and no night. I kid her about that. She understands. One time she said, how come, Karen said, how come I say something you get mad at and Daddy can't? She said, well, I know Daddy don't mean it. He's kidding. But just think now. An eternal state living right here on this earth. Not automobiles, not houses and all this, that, and the other. Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden. If the wind was blowing too strong, Adam had control over it. He said, peace be still. Tree he wanted moved, he just said, move, tree. There wasn't a hole here and then a hole over there. He just moved the tree. We can't hardly comprehend because the Bible says that. It's not entered into the hearts of man yet what God is, but said it's revealed to us. See, then the seals after they came off the book, the prophet saw we'll come right back here to this earth as human beings and live upon this earth in an eternal state, and the world will be eternal. And the scripture even tells you about the millennium, that the buyer and the lamb will be there together. We're not going to be spooked floating around all up through heaven, you know, and all this. We're human beings. And a human being wants to be a human being. Angels are created that way. They are ministering spirits, the Bible says. They're created for that purpose. You and I were created for fellowship, and that's what God will have with us down through the endless ages. So then when the seal broke, see, it showed that those people there, not just say, I'll take a scripture here, and I'll study this scripture, and I can show you here in the Bible now, Brother Daugherty, that one of these days I'll be able to shake your hand, and you'll be able to shake mine. Cut that away. You've got to have more concrete proof. And when the prophet of God was showed all of that, still, that wasn't enough. When God took the seal off the book, the fifth seal, and showed it to the prophet, what did he see? A group of people. He saw who they were. That was revealed to him. That was the breaking of the seal. And he said, here's something also that was revealed in the breaking of the seal. He said, I think will be very important to us, 385. Read 385, 386, 387, and 388, especially in the fifth seal. He said, here's something that proves, disproves a doctrine that people had called soul sleeping. See, the doctrine was that they just don't know nothing. They're just soul sleeping. They just gone somewhere and over there they are, you know. And they're just laying around everywhere, you know, just little pockets or something, just laying everywhere waiting because, you know, their body's down here and their spirit's gone to God, and they're just a little place there that you've got a little, maybe a little door that God takes your soul and opens up a little place and puts you in there and shuts the door and you remain there. Well, see, that's not it. The prophet told us whether we're here in this world or with God right now. If I die right now and go there, I'll be just as much there as, or more, excuse me, let me put it more, because that would be eternal. I'd be more real there than I am standing right here this morning, and I'm hollering pretty loud being here this morning. Everybody pretty well knows I'm here, I guess. But just think, I'd be more real there than I am here. But I wouldn't be John Doe there. I wouldn't be a little puff of cloud go floating around. God's not a puff of cloud. See, he's a being. The Bible speaks of his hand and his heart and all the things about it. God is a being. No, he's a person. He's not just a puff of wind just floating around. See, everybody thinks God's that way. They say he's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere. Well, now, God's not everywhere unless he wants to be. He's omniscient, which means knowing all things. If there ain't nobody on the moon, God ain't on the moon, he don't need to be there. That's just naturally saying it, where you'll understand. But if one man went to the moon, God will go to the moon and back. He's omnipresent in that he is omniscient. He knows to be there. And it sure is an odd thing that all of these spaceships that went up and back, a little halo of light follows them up and back. You ever noticed in your scientific side of it what these flying saucers they call them? Just about every one of them that ever went to outer space, they told about these little things that goes out there and comes back. But see, we ain't going to be just fruits. That field seal proves that we're going to be human beings. Because when Brother Branham spoke of that seal, what did he use as his basis? He said, this does away with soul sleeping. He said, because they say the soul just asleep somewhere, you know. This dead. Granny, she's died and gone on. Mama, she's dead and gone on. Daddy's dead and it's gone. They're just a spook floating around somewhere. No. Even in our day, now listen, I said I wouldn't mention much about this, but I will mention this point, just to prove the point. Even in our day, there's too many documented cases where that somebody be riding down the highway and see somebody walking along the road and they stop and pick them up. And they ride with them for a while. And then all at once, they're just gone. Too many documented proofs. See, the sinner has a place he goes to, too. He don't go there just a little spook, put him over in the corner and shut the door on him. But that's the sinner dead that can come back and forth out of that dimension into this one by something that is just allowed there. But the Christian don't do that. Now watch it as we prove it all the way through now. Watch it fit every scripture in the Bible what the prophet's talking about. He said that does away with soul sleeping. They used to teach soul sleeping, and basically your organization, they just about do the same thing because they don't know what the soul does. But listen, that soul, according to the prophet, the reason I read this scripture, you'll find him quoting on page 387 or 388 there, those page numbers I give you to read. He said, see, this shows Moses and Elias were standing with Jesus talking to him. And that's what the scripture says. Verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Moses and Elias were standing there talking with him. They had to have their five senses to be able to talk. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. You'd have to have those senses of hearing, and things like speech would have to be there. It would have to be a sense for them to talk to Jesus. All right, then these souls under the altar, what are they saying? They're speaking. They have feelings. They have desires. Their body now is down there in the grave. But they have senses still with them because they're desiring to go back. They're desiring to come back to this earth. They're asking for revenge. They still have hatred in their heart. You remember that the other night? We were talking about it last Sunday night. They still have a hatred in their heart for the people that's killed them. Well, surely then we can see that the dead does. There's something that they do know. They're not just somewhere that's cast off in a little puff of wind blowing backwards and forwards. You say, yeah, but how could that be? You explain television to me, and I won't have to say another word to you. You explain television to me, and I won't have to say nothing about where the sinner could be or the Christian or anybody could be. You say, well, if they're right over there, it looks like it'd be crowded. That's another dimension. See, taste, feel, and smell is where we're at. That's the third three things, see. Life, light, and matter. What if you didn't have no light? That'd be a dimension you didn't know in the Bible. What if you couldn't see today? You couldn't explain nothing to the person in that dimension because he can't see it, can he? You don't have it. But the sinner, I mean, the Christian now that's gone on to be with the Lord, he's not just sitting out there somewhere. Then when Brother Branham was showed that, then the scripture comes right back and backed up what God showed him in the translation or vision that he saw of those souls under the altar. Well, that was the scripture used for that. As long as you hold scripture in its right place, it has a compound meaning. When Brother Branham was asked about that or preached about this, he'd have to use that scripture and say, that cannot be. you know, the fifth seal. So that cannot be the bride, the early church. But then he would quote the scripture himself. And when he asked the angel, or ever what was talking with him in the translation, you'll find it on page 5 of God's Only Provided Place of Worship, and page 39 of Things That Are to Be, when that voice was talking to him and referred to where he was, he said, it's in the scriptures written of souls under the altar. Now watch that scripture. Watch that fifth seal come down to be right now. When you say, talking about souls under the altar, it says, how long to avenge our blood upon them? That's not the church, is it? Because he says, Father, forgive me. But just quote part of it and say, how long? Wait. Trying to figure it out, that's why. Same thing Peter said. When he saw the supernatural come before him, something happened, Peter said, let us build 3 tabernacles. And that's my point of the day, if nothing else. If us don't get to that place, when the scripture's open and we see Brother Branham using that scripture there, just see what he's saying. He said the angel or voice speaking to him referred to that as souls under the altar. All right, then there's a place that the Christian goes called souls under the altar. Not the fifth seal of vengeance of our blood. That's not the bride. But that puts them under the altar. That puts them souls under the altar. But listen, what about the scripture things now? Because I just said, you don't base it just on because Brother Branham went there. All right, now Brother Branham says Moses and Elijah, or Elias here, was talking with Jesus. He used that scripture. He said Samuel, you remember the witch of Endor, and Saul couldn't contact God by Urim or Thummim or by anything through the prophets and all like that. You know, he was so backslid. The Urim and Thummim was a breastplate of Aaron that was stones, and they'd ask, go before that, and he'd light up and all and supernaturally tell the person where they was right or not. He couldn't contact God in no way. So he went down to what's called the witch of Endor. He went down to her, and he talked to her and got her to call up the spirit of Samuel. When Samuel came back out of that region there of the Christians of that time, you know, the people that had died and went on, Samuel had been dead about 2 years. When Samuel came up there, he talked to Saul. He said, why have you called me out of my rest? Seeing you become an enemy to God. Saul said, I want to know what's going on and what's going to happen. Samuel said, tomorrow you'll die in battle, you and your sons, and you'll be with me. Still had ever since. Still was a prophet, too. Had ever since. What's the other things in the scripture now as they come into plain view to us now? What's the other parts of the scriptures as they come into view? That it wouldn't matter if it's just a parable. It'll still come into view. What about when the rich man died and Lazarus died? You remember Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom? There you'll find it in Luke about 16, 19 through 31. That when Lazarus died, he went to the bosom of Abraham, the rich man died. He lifted up his eyes in hell and said he was in torment. Said, send forth Lazarus from the bosom of Abraham and let him take, watch him still have his feeling now, let him take his finger and dip it in water and bring it to me that I might cool my thirst. See, the sinner, or the righteous, whoever he is, he knows there's something there. He has his feelings. Your soul, now what I want to get to in a minute, your soul is you. It's not your heart or your brain or your organs in your body. I've never seen you. I see the body. You can cut in there. I can see your heart. Watch it thump. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Open up your brain and look and see it all work. That ain't got nothing to do with it. It's the real you. And there the rich man was down there in torment. He had feelings. He could talk backwards and forth. Communicate. Why didn't they catch that now? Why didn't the people see those things? You see, over in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, if this earthly tabernacle of our habitation be dissolved, we have one waiting. In other words, if I die right here, just right now, just like that, just in a second, where will I be? I'd be one of them souls on the altar. Just in a second. But would I be there just as a spook? No. I'll be there just like I was when I was about 18 years of age. And I'll be there in a body. This body here comes from the 16 elders coming right out of the ground. Our body's coming from it goes back to it, does. But that body there that you're talking about is not a different body. It's just your soul, the real you. But it looks just exactly like this one here when you're about 18 years of age. You girls and boys and things along about 18, 20 years of age, you know yourself, that's prime life. But after a while, you start your shoulders doing this and your hair starts coming out. What's happening? Thus thou art and thus thou shalt return. But that's not written of the soul. But listen. He said, if this earthly tabernacle. The question is on the if. It's not over there. See, everybody used to think, even in Brother Brown's message, they used to think that you had a theophany all five yonder somewhere. And you're here. No. Your soul is your theophany, page 80 of the Hebrew book. We've read that enough and preached on it enough so people around here ought to know it. Your soul is your theophany. Now watch the scriptures come into view now more and more. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved. Now watch it. It'll have feelings. It'll have all kinds of things with it. That's what I'm trying to prove to you. If the sinner dead or the Christian dead, all right, they've got feelings. They're there. There's a body there. But it's not over there and me over here. And then I got to go over there to it. That's transmigration. And Brother Rand said, I don't believe in that. I believe in transmigration of the soul. See, going from one body to another body. That body over there has to be the very person that you are. All right, then that sealed seal, when it broke, it didn't prove that that soul over there would just be that theophany or the body sitting out there, just be a puff of wind. You'll still have all of your senses. You won't have all your sin, but you'll have your senses. There's a little difference in them two. You won't have all your desires, Brother Brown said, them's gone there. You know, fleshly. Desires, you won't have them. That's all gone there. Men and women can hug each other and everything else. No problems then, see. But just think now. The point I'm driving at, the scripture proves it. When the seal broke, it opened the scripture. The seal is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That the Holy Ghost had those scriptures, man had not looked into those scriptures. When the seal breaks, don't mean there's a great big seal to rip it like that and all at once you can see a whole bunch. The seal is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had that sealed up. And only reveal it to a prophet in a vision or a translation before it ever happened. Many people might have seen many things. But now, see, we make mockery. And people lie. They say, when I get to heaven, if they ain't three thrones setting up there, I'll just turn around and leave, I'd be in the wrong place. They made one the other day about J.B. Stoner, you know, the racist guy. Said he died and went to heaven and said when he knocked on the door, said the voice inside said, who dat? He said, I'll just forget it. You know, such a racist. We make all kind of jokes. But really, deep down inside, you know that that's basically what we've all had with just a big old joke. about what we'd be. Because, as I said, it took the prophet to come with the word. It took a prophet to come with the word to where God could break the word to him. The Holy Spirit had them scriptures all sealed up. We might have looked at them and saw a little bit here and a little bit there. Brother Brown preached back in 57 there about the soul being the theophany and things. He could see that. But check the Hebrew book and see what he's saying. In the Hebrew book, the only difference between the Hebrew book and the translation was over there. In the Hebrew book, he talks nothing about a physical contact. That was preached in 57. He said over there in that theophany, we neither eat nor drink. That's exactly what they told him when he went there. All that was true. Because in a theophany, you don't have to eat nor drink. There's nothing there. You have your five senses. But see, you don't have to eat or drink there. Now, the sinner, as he was down there, the rich man, he was thirsty. So you have to still have the senses, but you just don't have to eat there. And that's what they told him. But what's this scripture now coming to view? See, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have something waiting on us there that's just like what we are here, and we'll still be there in a body. What's the scripture say there about it? Sacrifices and offerings I would not, but a body thou hast prepared me. See, watch all the scriptures start opening. St. John 14, watch the scripture. Most of us use that to preach at funerals and things. Brother Brown said out of it, and that's a good thing to do. But look in your scriptures, St. John, 14th chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Now, this is Jesus talking. Believe also in me. Watch him now. In my Father's house are many mansions. He's not talking about a physical house. He's talking about your house. You, he's talking about. Watch him now. In my Father's house are many mansions. Already there. Now watch him go on. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now watch Jesus speak back to him. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, one time he's saying there's already a place there. Then he turns and says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What if it was a physical house? And in God's mansions, there was big mansions there. Then we're going to get a different mansion from that mansion because he's going to prepare something else. But that's not what it's getting at, is it? In my Father's house are many mansions. Theophany. So, for my Christians now, in my Father's house there's many places. If this body were dissolved, I'd go right over there. 20 feet away, Brother Graham said, in a sling. As I said a while ago, you explain television, you'll know what that's talking about. Because less than 20 feet over there, there's television pictures coming right through here right now. They set the TV down and turn it off. How does that get through these walls? You explain that to me. How does television pictures get through these walls? When you can sit there and turn it on just like that. Well, surely then if we can see that and know that can happen, then 20 feet away over there can be another dimension. You remember Jesus standing on earth one time? Watch these scriptures, though. Jesus standing on earth one time, he said, no man has ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man which to come down from heaven, which is in heaven, something like that. Hey, where was he at? He's standing here on earth. He said he's in heaven. Heaven is where God is, where the Word is, because heaven consists of the Word. But now think of that scripture now. In my Father's house are many souls. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now I go to prepare a place for you. Now, what's he preparing? What are we taught on things that are to be that God is preparing for us now? A soul? No, because when you die, go to that. That's already prepared of God. What's Jesus going to prepare for us now? Where's he at preparing? He's right here in the same. He ain't gone off up in heaven somewhere with hammer and nails trying to make a building. Where's he at? He's right in here. He said, I'll be with you and in you. All right, him in here, what's he doing? He's preparing an eternal body. He's preparing this body to get it to a place that it can be made eternal, that we can live in. See, because your real soul is that theophany that when you die, you just step right over. Well, surely I can feel here. Well, then what is the soul of a person? Now think about this as we just try to come to a close with it. What is the soul of a person? We can draw three rings and say, well, that's body, spirit, and soul. Well, what is the soul of a person? When they take your heart out, does your soul go with it? Your spirit works through your brain. Now watch, it's not your brain. But in your brain, you've got to have a brain to communicate, because that's where you see, taste, feel, smell, and hear comes from. You reach in there and push a button and cut off. You can stick a pin in there and touch that part of the brain and cut off all you see. Couldn't see them. You can stick a pin in there and cut off your hearing or anything like that, because it works through your brain. I'm a unit standing here today before you. I'm a person living inside of a body, this body here. My spirit is something that's in there motivating that and making it. And Brother Branham will talk about your life in the blood. And I remember this certain brother talking about how the life runs through the blood. And boy, you could just see him. He was in a minister's meeting one time. Brother Colin him probably remembered. Man, talking about how your life just run right through the blood. And here comes Jesus' life just run right through your blood. How this thing going down that way if it ain't made eternal all at once? Jesus' life is not in my blood. I'd have to have his physical blood to get the life out of it if it was that way. My life is not in my blood. That's where you Jehovah Witness reason they won't take a blood transfusion. They think the life is in the blood. If I give my wife some of that blood, I'd be giving her part of my life. We know you can drain every 6 weeks or 8 weeks or something. You can drain a pint of blood out of this body and give it to anybody. Black, white, what causes it? Let me give Brother Daugherty a blood transfusion. If something went wrong with him, they could take every bit of his blood out of his body if they could keep him alive somewhere and give him every bit of my blood. That wouldn't make him white. You've got all kind of things that people have their ideas all in motions and things and wondering about the body, and they're trying to explain. I can give him every bit of my blood. It wouldn't make him white. It wouldn't make my life in him. The life's in the blood, because the life of God living in you, or the life of the person, or whatever it would be. And the blood has to keep all of that going, because that's the cells and things that the life's running in, not your life, not your spirit. But it takes the word opening to see that. Because in that, then, my soul is what I am. You remember Brother Branham on page 9, Souls in Prison? He said, if you're born again, the nature of your soul is God. If you're not, the very nature of your soul is of the devil. Then everybody says, soul, that's the nature of the spirit. Oh, we understand Brother Branham, don't we? Soul's nature of the spirit. But Brother Branham, just give your soul a nature. You can talk about your soul being the nature of your spirit, because that's what it is. But what about the nature of your soul? I remember quoting that one time to a man up in Jeffersonville, Indiana. I was trying to prove the point with it. I said, what about my brother? Brother, how could your nature have a nature? I said, I don't know. You go argue with Brother Branham. He's out on the grave. That's just the way I said it to him, because that's what I mean. I said, you just have to go talk to him, because he's the one that said it, and I believe it. Well, I didn't understand it then. Probably don't understand it now, but I understand a lot more about it. Because my soul is what I am. If you can see that, that's what I'm driving at today. What I am here, that's why that I can't, as I said the other day, if I live one thing before my children or before you as a church and then done something else and there's something wrong with me, that's a split personality. We're sinful enough like it is. We do enough like it is, but not go out there and just live like the devil here and then come here and preach. Oh, how that's Jesus. My brother Brown said about a woman in a miniskirt standing in a choir with a higher cropped dog and painted face singing, oh, I love Jesus. He said, I'd hate to go across the country and try to find, what was it, 5 virgins out of all the choirs were singing across the country. He gave us a small number. He said, I'd hate to try to find 5 in all the choirs singing across the country. Now, that was pretty stiff, wasn't it? But nobody didn't accept the challenge. But then we think, oh, we're so great big something. Then you go over to Africa and find out over there that they have to take a virginity test for their marriage. And then, brother, we really do get blowed up. They find out they've done something wrong, then they got to tell who they done it with, and they kill both of them. Then we think us moral Americans, we're so great something. Oh, we're great, really, really, we're religious people. As I just said, there ain't nothing no good about none of us. But when I don't, when I preach one thing and live another, well, then you know there's something wrong with me. That's that. But what I preach, I must live because that's what I am. If not, there's something wrong between me and my soul. I'm split somewhere. Same with you. You claim one thing, live another, then go ahead. You know what you are when you do that. You claim to be a Sunday school teacher or a big deacon or something in a church or a pastor or a church or a preacher or something, and then you live a life out somewhere else. I told you, we're dirty enough like it is. But it just proves there's something wrong in your soul. Because my soul is what I am. And that fifth seal proves. If you want to put anything to a subtitle, just put souls on the altar, because that's what we are. If I die, I go there. I'll be there as a physical thing, not a physical like this here, you know. Not that type of physical. Not a body like this old 16 elements of the world is rotting. But a body thou hast prepared for me. Something that I can go there and live. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I go right over there. That's where John saw his people, the Jews, and knew who they were. But then when he come over there later and saw the foolish virgin come up, he said, I don't know who these are. Couldn't see them in tribal order, but he saw them in tribal order when he saw them. He saw Jews. And told under the altar, that's the real true Jew we found down through there that stayed with the Word. Now listen, think about this. What is your theophany? How would they have one? Think on it. How would they have a body? And the Scripture plainly tells you in the seal how they got a body. How would that soul under the altar have a body now prepared for him? What is your soul? Theophany. What is it? What's a theophany? According to who is this Melchizedek? Thanks for that 10 or 12. Page 10 or 12, but who is this Melchizedek? A soul is your theophany. It's a word body. Now, what does it say about those souls under the altar? Why are they there? For the Word of God and the testimony they hold. They have a body, then don't they? The Word of God gives them one. A Christian this morning, we ought to think about it. We know what the dead is. There's no fear there to die. You just step out of this right over to another one. We won't be just spooks running around over there. We won't just be those things. But watch this life Scripture now. And let's just see how we can put it to where we are now. And maybe we'll see why we ought to be ashamed sometimes of our lives and the way we live. If they know, do they know what's happening here? Do. Brother Brown said, my mother's in there somewhere looking down over the balcony this morning. He said, Paul's out in there somewhere. Could Brother Branham, when he was translated over into that place, could he look back and see his physical body laying on the bed? He did, didn't he? As I said, you don't use that to prove a point, but it's something to prove a point with. Let's just look in Hebrews now just for a minute. We'll read these last scriptures and just let you see what it says. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. You read all of the 11th chapter because it's about the warriors of faith. You know, about how they took Isaac and Jacob and all Moses and his parents and Joseph coming down. But here's what I want to get to. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Remember how coming down through there, how they were, how that they took over, how that Gideon went out, just a little old man, wasn't a warrior. He just got tired of running. See, out of weakness is made strong. Waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Oh, David standing out there, killed Goliath and everybody else, just started running, didn't he? Women received their dead, raised to life again. Listen, others were tormented, not accepting deliverance. Listen to this great group of people. And Brother Branham, in explaining this scripture, divides between the Old Testament and the New. Whether you know it or not, but this divides between the Old Testament and the New Testament. This shows the Old Testament in these scriptures and also shows down through there, coming down through the ages. Now watch. Others had trial. Listen, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Coming down through the Dark Ages, anyway, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, here's my whole point of the day. If they have feelings, if they cry how long? If they want to come back, and they do, they want to come back from there because they can't eat and all the different things. You remember when Brother Ram went there, he couldn't do it. He said, one of these days we'll go back to earth and take up bodies, and we'll do that. They want to come back. Could they be seeing us this day? We don't seem to think about the eternal God that we think is omnipresent in that He's everywhere, but yet we don't seem to think that if I went to the liquor store today, He would have to go with me. That if I went out in sin and participated, He would have to be with me. We don't seem to think about the fear of being seen and God knowing what we're doing. And our lives that we live, we don't seem to think about that. But listen, are they watching us? Let alone the omnipresent God that is there because of His omniscience. Look at the next verse now of chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I just read about the witnesses now. Then we, wherefore seeing we also are compassed. Right now we are compassed about. If heaven's no more than 20 feet over there, we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. See, sin can beset us, can't it? It can cause us trouble, can't it? And let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Then we We don't think about how personal sometimes these things are. We don't think about how that we're being watched every moment. That our lives are continually being watched by the world to see. They'll do anything they can to tear you down, to try to make you do wrong. They'll tell lies on you. They'll ridicule you to the daylight to try to make you break down. Well, isn't that what they're supposed to do? Fruit inspectors supposed to check the fruit. Supposed to check the fruit, ain't they? And if they're supposed to check the fruit, then they have a right to check an apple to see whether it's done, you know, red and or wormy and knotty. But we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. That fifth seal proves that they have their feelings and things that still lie with them. They can see, they can hear, they can talk. And they can be watching us today, saying, how long? Saying to me and you, come on. Let's get it over with. Let's get it on. Get it over with. Like Brother George Canada, let's stand together and sing number 8. Brother George Canada used to say, it's a good point. He said, them angels don't understand when I get up in the morning, you know. I've slept a little during the night, and I get up, and my old arthritis and all the bones in my body start popping and cracking when I get up. They don't understand how I feel so bad. But said also, they don't understand when I raise my hands and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. So they never was lost. But yet, think about it now, sir. We're not just spooks, are we? Brother Ryan said it's time to teach the church deeper things and move on. We're not just a bunch of spooks floating around when we die. That makes me feel good because I, too, as a young boy, I remember it. You know what my desire was when I was a kid? You know, I thought about dying and, you know, I thought, well, if I die, I mean, I know it's foolish, but I guess all of our thoughts are genuine foolish. I used to think, well, now, when I die, I don't want them to bury me. I want them to just throw me out here alongside the highway. I can see them old dogs and things laying out on the side of the road. They just rot, you know, and just deteriorate, just right on the end of the ground. Go back to the dust they come from. I thought, well, that dog would have it on me in the resurrection because he ain't been buried on the ground. He just laid out there and rot. And I think, well, now, I want them to just throw me out on the side of the road and just let me rot there. Because in the resurrection, I won't have to dig my way out. You think that's foolish, but that was a young man's idea. How much different than that than some of our organizational ideas that we've had, you know, like soul sleeping and not knowing nothing and all that different things. But listen, church, God is with us. He knows what's going on today. He's with us. But my desire, brother told me the other day, he said, Brother Dale, I failed when I asked him to pray for it. He said, I failed bitterly. I said, then get up. Now you lay down there and stay down there, then you prove what you are. I said, get up. You go to church in the morning and you have them people pray for you. And you get up off from where you're at and you walk on. There ain't nothing wrong with falling. When I was a baby, I fell down, didn't you? Little kid, you take it, that's the way it learns to walk. It's by falling. But see, I want to press on to higher ground, don't you? I want to just keep moving on and the Lord take me on. I believe He will, don't you? Let's just sing this. I'm pressing on. the upward way. You have been every day, still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my end, is higher ground. Lord, lift me up, you mean it, and let me stand. By faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on high. See, Satan, now listen. Satan thinks he knows what's going on. And he tries to give that to man. He has a knowledge on the revelation, because he knows the word. But he's trying to tell man all about the dead, you know. They don't know nothing. They're just a spook floating around, and they're just that and the other. And he divides churches by one believing that you'll come on a cloud one day, or one believing you'll ride a white horse one day. And he divides people that way. But God hid it from him. When it's all hid from him so much, he don't know what's going on. But think about it, church. He hid a man one time. You know, I believe Moses' thoughts was what this song says. I want to scale the utmost heights and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I find. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Moses had spent a whole life trying to get the people to see God for what he was. If not all, somewhere else, but to see him as the eternal God. He was an old man. One day he was taken up. You remember, he'd done wrong. He wasn't able to go over into the promised land right then. But one day he is taken up on a mountain. And there was a rock there. When he got through viewing the land, he just stepped over on that rock. And was not. That rock that he stepped on was Jesus Christ. And later on, you find a story one time going on in heaven. And Lucifer was arguing or trying to get a debate over what happened to Moses. He was trying to argue with the archangels, Michael and them, about what happened to Moses. But he just said, I seen him as an old man, so I seen him stand there and said, he just stepped up on a rock. And he's gone. You know, God didn't argue with him, did he? The Bible says he didn't argue with him. See, God just sent down some pallbearers, some angels to take Moses away. When he went to that place, then I read you the scriptures, he come back over there and was standing there talking with Jesus. We die today, it's not just something that's going somewhere else, is it? We still have our feelings there. We're still there. Our very soul is there. Our very needs are. Satan, he don't understand. But listen, What would he say if he is back there? What would we say if we is back there? Lord, let us build here a tabernacle for Moses because we've seen him disappear. And a voice come from heaven and said, shut up. Hear my son. He's speaking to you. That's what he does. He speaks to us and says, stop trying to figure all this stuff out. I'll just tell you about it. You study it and you pray and you seek it, and I'll just come down and tell you about it. Then you can see me. See how I work. You can step on the rock too. Paul bearers will come one day and take us away, the angels of God. Father, we thank you for this service today, and we pray that you would just guide each one of us. Grant us understanding, Lord, that we may walk in you. Walk in the light, knowing that you are that light. Help us, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread, knowing that you are the author and finisher, and that you'll have it there for us, whatever we have in there. Guide us now as we dismiss from one another. Take care of the people on the highway. We give our sins in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.